Welcome to Life and Godliness. I am your host, Joanna Simpson, otherwise known as JoSim. So many of us are struggling, stuck, lost, wounded, and hopeless when Jesus came so we could be free and live an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy life. But how can we truly do this if we're bogged down by life's problems? Well, Life and Godliness with JoSim hopes to help persons enjoy life with Christ by sharing Christ-inspired solutions to everyday problems and digging up deep-rooted mindsets that skew our perception of the Father. To quote a popular artist, life is hard, but God is good. And He's patient in our journeys. So join us as we talk about life and godliness.
Welcome to Life and Godliness with Jo. Today I have two special people. And their names are David Cook and Lorraine Cook. They have been married for
35 years.
Yes, 35 years. And that in this time, you know, is amazing that God has kept them for so long. Usually at this time, I do an introduction of my guests, but I thought that it would be useful for somebody else, some other persons, to introduce them.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I just wanted to let you guys know that I love you very much, and something I've always admired about your relationship is the consistency of it. Just the way how you're able to balance the love between me and my brothers and the love that you have for each other. When I was young, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think, oh, it's just my parents being my parents. But the older I've gotten, I've realized how hard it is to maintain that love and find that balance. And that's been something that I've always admired about you guys. I love you so much. I miss you guys so much. And I wish I was there to be with you right now. Also, I just want you to know that you guys are an inspiration to me. In terms of, you're definitely who I want to be when I become a parent, and you're definitely who I want to be when I do become a husband. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the values that you've instilled in me. It has really defined me and made me who I am today. Love you guys.
So a couple of things I really enjoy about my parents' marriage. First, being that they both have a strong relationship with God. You know, I believe that this really set the foundation for them to build upon, especially in the early stages of the marriage. Also, I love that they take a proactive approach to their relationship. In that, you know, every week, at least once a week, they would take time to spend together, whether it's to go on a date or just to go on a little outing. You know, to me, I feel like that really helps to keep the spark in the relationship.
Hey, Mom and Dad. I just want to say two things that I admire about your relationship. One, that you enjoy activities together. For example, it is hilarious listening to the two of you watch TV shows together, discussing which characters you love from which characters you hate, from which characters you think are absolutely stupid. And the second thing that I admire about you two is that you support each other no matter what. There are times when it's clear that you're not fans of each other, but something comes up and you immediately jump to each other's support. You're really communicating, hey, I may not always like you, but I will always love you. Thanks for showing me how beautiful a marriage can be.
So what better way to introduce the couple but with their own three sons. So their sons, I asked their sons to just send me a brief video of two things, you know, that they really appreciated about their parents' marriage. And so that is what they sent. What do you think, David and Lorraine?
I was pleasantly surprised. I was surprised to tears. It's just an inspiration to hear the boys talking about us. And at some points when they talk, he said, they're dead on. They're right. You know, we do that. I didn't even realize they were observing that, you know.
It's amazing. We definitely love our boys, and it's great hearing them, you know, reinforcing the values of marriage, which we are looking forward to our grandchildren.
So, I mean, so, you know, even what you said a while ago is that so important because, you know, you're living your life, you know, living with each other, loving each other, and you're not sure what your children are seeing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so God, you know, God has this very interesting way for families to operate. And I usually hear people say, you know, make sure you have a good marriage as a good example to your children. You know, what would you say about that statement?
So it is critical to be walking before your kids and sharing and showing them. Because it's not so much what you say to them, but it's how you live your life around them. Because they're watching the words you say. They are watching the actions you do in terms of how you help around the house, what you are able to represent in terms of how you talk about people and how you care for each other. So I think, yeah, it's so vital in terms of how my response to Lorraine and how I help her in what she needs and the support that she needs. So that's real life practice, not so much, you know, just reading Bible or just do, you know, what you say in church.
I like to add to that. I like to say that it's important that we be authentic as individuals in the marriage. And I think we're very real with each other in the marriage. And whenever we cause offense to each other, we're quick to apologize to each other. And we try to do this. If the offense, we sense that the children would have observed it, we try to apologize to each other in front of the children without they knowing it's in front of them. You know what I mean? So it's not, it's very normal. It's not, you know, because they're there, let's apologize. No. It just flows normally. So they see us getting upset with each other sometimes and unplanned for, and they see us apologizing and being nice to each other. And so if they see us in a time of conflict, it's not that we try to always have conflict in front of them, but as human living in a home, these things happen, and they see us forgiving each other and moving on, you know, and embracing each other. So whenever these things happen, because as I said, we have accepted, David and myself accept our humanness, that we have, you know, we're going to slip up sometimes, but when we do, we do correct. But it's not a correct that is saying I'm correcting. We just continue to live and to ensure that they see the other side to us.
And that's so important, you know, just our humanity and recognizing our humanness. Because even as Christians, sometimes you kind of expect that you're supposed to be perfect. And so, you know, when you have a quarrel in front of your kids, or, you know, when you're not representing Christ in a certain way, then you feel bad. And sometimes you feel so bad, you don't even want to talk about it and bring it up, you know. So this whole, you know, what you're talking about in terms of having conflicts in front of your children unintentionally, but being humble enough, you know, to be able to apologize. And, you know, I'm just going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask, what would be an example of how that looks like in your life, you know, when you're apologizing to each other in front of your kids?
So it would look like we typically would sit down and just have a talk through, but we'd also share with just say we're sorry. But we normally talk through things. So it might take a little while, so in talking through, and then how it would look in that we might embrace each other after, or we play a game of teasing each other or dancing or something like that.
Yeah. So in other words, privately we'll talk through, but we will do things that let the child know that, hey, mommy and daddy really love each other. So we'll be, David will say, come, let's dance. And we'll be dancing and he'll tickle me and I'll be laughing and they'll hear the laughter. And it is not for them to hear, but somewhere in the back of our mind, I think it is there that we want them to know we are enjoying each other yet again. So it's not like a slavery thing. It's like we just purposely decided from the beginning of our role as parents or even as wife and husband that life offers us the good and the negative, right? And we have to learn as a couple that when a negative occurs, it doesn't keep us down. Oh, and we don't feel guilty if our children gets exposed to the negative because it's not going to last, you know? And so we are able to laugh again. We are able to go on a date. Sometimes things are, we're still going through a rough time and we realize that we can't talk about those rough times in the house. So what we tell our boys, we're going on a date and we'll go on a dinner date and we'll go out and talk about it. Sometimes we have friends, safe friends, because they are unsafe friends, but safe friends that we will say to them, can we get together? David and I have a burning thing and we need to talk to somebody about it. And those safe friends will open their lives to us and allow us, you know one of them very well, and allow us to just come and talk. You know, and so the boys will sometimes think we are going on a date and we leave kind of happily, not vexed with each other, but we're really going to talk through some serious issues that we don't think they should be privy to. Mm-hmm. So you have to, a couple has to use wisdom in resolving issues. There's some issues that are very minute and it gets us annoyed and we're human, we react and we have to deal with those, but there are some issues that are at the core and you really do need time to talk it through, and we try to kind of protect them from those core issues. Once we have resolved them, sometimes during devotions we will talk about it and they will say, you know, we did observe you guys, whatever. They'll share their thoughts during that period of time and said they suspected that was happening. And so we would talk to them on how we decided to move forward. So even with the core issues, we use wisdom in when to bring them in.
I love the openness. I mean, because again, we're also coming from, at least, I don't know if it's your generation or the generation before you, that's coming from a place of, you know, children are seen, not heard. Children are not really involved in, you know, some of the ways of adult life and the understanding of what happens as an adult. And so I just love the way you both, you know, it, as you said, it's really using wisdom. So it's allowing them to see an aspect of the real, you know, grit of marriage. But mm-hmm. it's also as your children who you need to, as in a sense, protect from, you know, mm-hmm. wondering about what's happening and, you know, worrying about what's happening with their parents' marriage mm-hmm. from being exposed to some of the harder issues that they were supposed to listen in. They may get the ideas that, well, something's happening with mommy and daddy. So mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're so open and that you create a space where they can talk through these things with you, because sometimes, you know, children observe things, but then they don't have a space to talk about it so there's no understanding. So they form beliefs in their mind and then they live based on those beliefs, and then that's not necessarily what's happening in their parents' marriage. So, I mean, we've gone further than one, but we're going to continue. So, you know, going back, though, a little bit, actually, I want to ask you first, how did you meet?
How did we meet? Yeah, we always have different versions, but We met at Lorraine's gate at her home. Amazingly, a friend was, and I were traveling, and he decided to stop and introduce me to her, which was quite interesting because my wife had gotten a word many years ago that she would meet her husband at her gate.
Wow.
And the moment we met at her gate, something said inside of me, "This is your wife." And my wife got the same. But of course, we were not about telling each other that. So I was, you know, I decided to be very difficult at the gate, but the rest was history. My wife might have a slightly added version, so I allow her.
Okay. This is always my favorite part of it. I studied in Canada, and when I, one day on my way to church on the bus, a lady from the church, who I never really talked to, she came and she sat beside me, and she proceeded to tell me where all the places I would not be meeting my husband, and I should stop looking because the Lord is going to take my husband right to my home, to my gate. Wow. And 3 years later, I was standing at, David drove up with a friend to collect an audio tape. And I ran out there with the tape. And the friend, Colin, came out and, to get the tape from me. And he said, "Oh, by the way, I wanted to meet a friend of mine." And David came out and we met, we shook hands. And while we were talking, the Holy Spirit did bear witness in my spirit that this is my husband. Mm. And we kept talking. And then about 15 minutes after, I said, "Would you guys like to come in? We have been standing here for a little while." And they said, no. This is just spontaneous. And David is kind of rushing to go somewhere else. Well, needless to say, after half an hour at the gate, the boat decided to come in. and so everything evolved from that meeting.
Wow. So after you met now, take us a little bit through that journey, you know. How long did you get? How long did it take, you know, until you got married?
So I'm the engineer, so I'll go. we met. Interestingly, we were going to the same church, and I never saw her. And I had sensed there were other persons that had liked my wife, but she wasn't so interested, or my friend. And so I played a little difficult, but I think within 6 months, we were engaged. And within a year of that meeting, we were married. So we were pretty decisive. And yeah, so it was an amazing time. I mean, during that 6 months, I ended up learning Shakespeare as an engineer. I was studying Shakespeare with my friend, Lorraine. And so we started to develop different aspects of ourselves. And that was amazing. And as the rest is history. We got married within a year of meeting at the gate.
Engaged.
We got married, got engaged within 6 months.
What made you sure, you know, that this was the person that you wanted to marry? Was it just a dream, or, you know, were there other things?
There are other things. Every good relationship goes through conflict. And conflict is not something to run away from, but it's something to embrace. And during that 6 months, we came to a point where we were now exposing ourselves to each other in the sense that, you know, we were relaxed with each other. There was an issue that created a conflict between us. And David said to me, "You know, we need to give this a break." And I said, when you say break, do you mean that break up? Because I was getting nervous now, because I'm really getting to like this guy. And he said, no, not quite. But we're going to give ourselves a 6 weeks break. During that 6 weeks, we will pray and we will fast. And he specified what days we were going to fast, but we weren't to talk none at all to each other. During that 6 weeks, my would have been my birthday. And I thought that he would have, at least for my birthday, decide to just break that vow for the and come around and be nice to me. No, 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 my friend, I did not see him none at all. He quickly left a gift with a friend who later passed it on to me. And so we went through that 6 weeks of not seeing each other and praying, fasting. And at the end of the 6 week, we met and he shared what he felt the Lord was saying and how he felt towards me. He didn't share a lot and I didn't make himself very vulnerable, but I was sensing that the Lord was working on my behalf. So after he finished sharing, he asked me if I had anything to say, and I told him how I felt that my love for him, my connection had gotten stronger, and this could only be God, because, you know, I went on to say other things. And at the end, we decided that, yes, God wants us together. We really felt within our spirit that God, this was from God, this relationship, and hence why we got engaged quickly. Why wait if God has given his word that we are to be together?
So what did you like about each other? You know, so was it just that God said, you know, get married and, you know, or was there some actual things that you really liked about each other?
Well, when I saw David, met him at my gate, the honest truth, I felt he was very handsome.
Oh.
Still is. And he was very tender. He had a tenderness to him and he was warm. The voice got me. The voice has changed a little now, you know, but it was soft. I describe it as very velvet. He had the voice. And so, and above all, he was and still is a Christian. Mm-hmm. At the time, the fact that Colin, who is a friend that introduced us, could vouch that he was a born-again Christian and told me a lot about David as a Christian in Trinidad when he was studying, it just made whatever concerns I had about being married to a man and a man taking advantage of me just dissolved, and I felt secured. So there was a connection, there's an unspoken connection when you meet somebody that you really love. You can't explain everything about it. That connection happened, but there were these other things happening.
When I first met Lorraine, I think her eyes pulled me in.
Yeah.
It's like windows of her soul, but she has beautiful eyes. But I don't think I tell her very often. But
yes, you said it.
it pulled me in, and I just was enthralled with her warmth. She had a caring warmness of heart for people. I mean, we stood at the gate, we were supposed to be just passing. I mean, she was constantly offering us drink, whatever, at the gate. I think this gate was really a very special gate. But her warmth for both of us and just how she embraced and talked and expressed herself drew me to her. And I just found her fascinating physically and emotionally. So, you know, it was a connection. And for me, connection is important in terms of being able to communicate and share. I felt free to talk and just to be myself. And that was important.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, because again, the practicalities, the realness, sometimes as Christians, I feel like we get very high, you know, we're very spiritual. So we say, yes, the Lord said, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, it's important. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord spoke to me about my husband as well. But just the other aspects, you know, I believe that, exactly, in a sense, God confirms his word in different, exactly, ways, you know. And so through the connection that was formed and deepened, you know. And what was interesting for me as I hear your story is that the connection deepened when you were away from each other. You know, and again, you also heard David taking a leadership role, you know, even from then, and hearing how, you know, even though you were like, what is this? You know, is he breaking up with me? You know, you went along and it turned out to be very beneficial. And I think, you know, even those things are inclinations, give an idea of what the marriage perhaps could be like, you know, in the future. So jumping forward now, you know, as we're building a new family unit, I mean, when you just get married, you're excited and you're like, yes, the wedding was great. And now I'm here with my spouse and, you know, honeymoon done. And we have to live with each other now. And we're like, whoa. All right, I knew this and I knew this about you, but what is this, you know? So we have to separate from our family members. For some persons that's easier than others, and we're to now settle in with this new spouse. What were some of the things you have done over the years to build your family unit? So first your marriage and then as a family.
Our first biggest quarrel, we were saving some money, and you know, we'd gotten a nice savings going, and my wife loves to save. And so at the end of the year, I said, honey, we need to do something together. We need to build. And so my wife said, no, we can't touch the money. So what happened? So we had a big quarrel. And I said, you know, what's the point of having the money in the bank if we can't enjoy each other? So we had to, and we spoke about it. And eventually we agreed to just use the money and have a good time, I mean, with each other. And so that was our first time going to couples on our first anniversary. But it was very important to settle that. We realized that although savings is very vital, we are also very vital to invest in our relationship, mm-hmm, and in our building. But we were different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, as David, that quarrel set the foundation for our marriage, because every anniversary is important in this marriage. We David plans for the anniversary, and so he puts aside money. And that day he said to me, "What is more important, getting a house or having our relationship? Which one?" I had to choose. He said, people can have a good house, have several cars, and the relationships are in a mess. And I had to come to grips with that. And so we took the decision thereafter that we must save money towards the quality of time that we spend with each other. And so every anniversary for the past 35 years is carefully planned. From our anniversary is in September, so by January, David is putting aside money and planning for us to go off for our anniversary from the first year, and it continues to this year. We go couples, we get special massage now when we go there, because they see us very often. And yes, we have gone to other hotels. Yes, we have gone to hotels in Negril, like Swept Away, Negril, Couples Negril, and we have gone to Jamaica, but nowhere like Couples Turkey Towers. And so, yes, yes. They said, when we go now, they said, welcome home.
Well, I mean, I think this is key because, you know, we live in a society where things matter. Yeah. We save for things. We put money aside for things. You know, we spend on things. So we're either spending on things or we're saving on things. We value our relationships, you know, but we say, okay, we need to get these things first, mm-hmm. and then we invest in our relationships because we're doing this for our relationships. But sometimes, you know, in getting the things that we want, or as David said, the relationship deteriorates before mm-hmm. you are able to invest. And so just that critical kind of moment that you had where you had to determine, you know, is it the relationship or is it getting comfortable to then work on our relationship? And then also, is it living life now or waiting until a future time to live life? You know, and again, it's interesting because sometimes we save up so that we can live life at this appointed time, you know, but even the Bible talks about that man who he was saving up, I think, a lot of stuff in his storehouse and then he died. You know, so I really appreciate and admire this balance of, you know, living life and still saving, you know, investing in the relationship while mm-hmm. still valuing, yes, that things are important, but the relationship comes first.
Mm-hmm. And just to add a little bit back to your original question, when we just got married, it always happens. You realize there can be major difference even in similarities because we were both very warm and very giving persons. But when we got married, I was in charge of a cell group of 25 persons. And so we had 25 persons coming in the cell group, but they would be coming by the house every single day because you always had people in the house being ministered to. So the house was just totally crowded. Whereas my wife would have normally ministered, but it would have been like on once for the week, or she would go out and do ministries in different other types of activities. So there was a major difference in my having 20 people, 15 people at the house every day as a concept of an open house. Obviously not every day, but which created a tension in the marriage, and it's something that we had to take time to understand and to work out, because initially I did not understand the need of my wife to be able to balance that situation, because you're just coming into a marriage doing some things and not realizing that you have to build and protect your wife as your responsibility as well. And so that took us a couple of years, to 7 years, as my wife said. So we went through our first 7 years of marriage was very difficult, working to try and understand those differences, compounded with the fact that my wife was very close to her parents, our mom, and I saw that at times as her trying to influence us. So, you know, we had to balance those things and learn to work to build each other in that.
Just to add, Joanna, that we are both warm and open people. But David, my personal space tends to be a little bit narrow than David. David's is wide.
As the ocean.
I always say wide as the ocean, wide and deep as the ocean. And so I get, whereas he got his energies from interaction, and the Lord has given him a ministry. I needed quiet times to rejuvenate myself, and that took a lot of working through. And the good thing with my husband that I appreciate him. I've always said it to him, is that David gives counsel, you know. David counsels a lot, but David will receive counsel. So I always had the freedom to ask others for help. And if I'm comfortable with someone that he doesn't really know, and I ask them for help, he goes along with it. I don't have to feel, oh, David is going to be so upset with me now for going to this person. He believes that once we need help, we should get help. And that's something that I really do cherish in our marriage, that he is open to counsel, and open to counsel from females or males. He's now one of those who said, only let the males advise me. He acts upon both.
If they're married.
Sex advice. And yeah, so I think that really helps a lot, because no man is an island. No marriage, no couple is an island.
There are a number of things that I heard. It's learning to put your wife first, or put your spouse first, their feelings, their desires. And again, you know, as I think about the Christian world, and as people who love God, sometimes in our Christian world, being Christians and wanting to live for God and, you know, live in a way that is in line with his heart, we focus a lot on evangelizing outside. And, you know, other people are needing to meet other people. And sometimes we do that to the neglecting our own personal relationships or family relationships or spouses, you know. So this kind of challenge that you had to work through, I think it's a real challenge. And I think it's very important, because it speaks to different personalities, you know, one person needing, you know, space to rejuvenate, while another person perhaps is energized by having people around, you know. And then it's not, you know, it's not just for being sociable, but it's also for a purpose. It is, you know, building up people. And so we can see that as so important and say, well, you know, our wife just needs to understand, or supposed to need to understand, and you know, but you know, the fact that you were intentional about working it through, so that even though this was something that was core to both of you, you wanted to honor each other in the area, is so important. And definitely one of the things that I'm hearing again is just the mark of humility. So Lorraine, as you spoke about David and his ability or his openness to receiving counsel. I mean, for a man, that can be a little difficult, you know. It's like, who is this person coming to speak into my marriage or speak into my life, and, you know, male or female. But being able to receive that, and then also giving your own space to reach out to your own network, you know, really does say a lot about him.
I want to just interject something, Joanna. Sometimes it's easy for us to feel that our way is the better way. Okay, I like to minister to many people, and it's great and it's good. My wife likes her personal space, and so that is not as good. But I had to realize that that is totally wrong and not healthy, because my wife in her quiet space is the source of the prayer and the source of building of me. And so we both need each other, and her difference is vital. I had to realize that because a person is different doesn't mean they are any less than your way or your way of doing something. You have to learn to treasure that other part of the person just as important. That probably took me 20 years to come to grips with, because even the sense of, okay, we might be, I just add this, we're different in terms of, I'm very neat. I like everything to be in place. My wife is not as neat because she's not an engineer, but I've learned that for her, the floor has to be spotless. For me, the floor doesn't need to be clean, because you're walking on it as an engineer and it's built of dirt. But I've learned to realize that I have come to appreciate that her uniqueness is important. And the fact that I need everything in place is not important. You don't have to have everything in place for the world to go around. And so you have to come to a grip of understanding that difference. And I think 1 year we celebrated this theme. We called it Celebrating Differences. And it was tremendous for me, because we did it for our anniversary, and we took it through for 1 year, and then we took it over for another year, learning to appreciate and admire the difference, because that's That's something that builds that individual, and you can learn from it. You can really grow and understand and appreciate that difference doesn't mean ungodliness or something that is bad. I just thought I'd add that.
Yes, well, that's amazing. I mean, you have a theme for your anniversary. I've never heard that in my life.
Yes, we do. Every year, we have a theme for our anniversary.
So that was one, but that was...
That went for 2 years because it was so important.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about that? Because, I mean, I believe that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds, you know. It can be vastly different. Like last week, I had an ex-prisoner and a church girl. But it doesn't have to be that. Just because we grew up in different families, we have different experiences, you know, mm-hmm. it means that we come from different places and then we have different personalities. And, you know, so there are so many things that are different. The way sometimes, you know, where we are with our walk with God, how we communicate with God, you know, just there are so many differences. What are some of the keys or the strategies that you have used to help you to appreciate these differences or to celebrate them?
Yes. I think the first thing is to recognize God in the individual and their journey. So that when you see a person has a specific inclination, that my wife loves clean floors, you recognize that it comes from a place of her wanting to honor her traditions or honor the things that she has come accustomed to, right? And so she really is not doing it out of a defiance of you or the circumstances, but it's really her wanting to honor the God that she serves, right? And or it may be, in some cases, it may just be her concepts. Now, when you begin to celebrate the difference, you allow yourself, if you need to change, you are the only person that can change. So you are celebrating the person, right? And therefore recognizing that you are working or dealing with an individual who is different from you. And what you try to do is move a little bit further to understand, where did some of this come from? And so you start listening to the person a little bit more, and then you realize, oh, there's a whole world behind some of the experiences. And that could take, obviously, a long time, but there's a whole world behind why the floor is important to my wife, or why, you know, other things are important, or and why things are not. So that's really what we needed to take the time, is listening. And I think that's something we have learned. Sometimes we have sessions where we allow each other to just talk for a half an hour and the other person just listen and say nothing. And I think that has enabled us to begin to understand the person a lot more and therefore able to appreciate the difference.
Okay. For me, differences, it starts with recognizing that we all have our positive and our negative, right? And I'm an avid reader. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of novels. And the seeing the characters in the books that you love and you don't like, you somehow, for me, the authors bring out the positive and the negative. And they are a villain in somebody's life and they are a saint in another person's life. So you realize that differences help to balance us. In addition, you know, we all have our different personalities. And one of the things, Joanna, that I went to the Lord with is that in my preparation to be a mother, I wanted to be able to accept my children's differences. I didn't want the world to compare my children, and I didn't want to support that comparison because as a mother, I wanted to be prepared to nurture my children's uniqueness. And I knew somewhere in our marriage before I actually had my first child, the Lord challenged me about dealing with my husband's negatives. We all have negative reactions. So dealing with those negative reactions and not seeing it, the negative reactions as necessarily inherently bad or meaning a bad person. God helped to heal my heart. And through the counsel of good friends, Alison Nichols, Bruce Fletcher, and Pat, not through those the counsel's friends like those, I learned that the negatives, the differences can be used to enhance our lives rather than if we reframe our perspective, how we view the differences. The problem is sometimes we get stuck on viewing the differences as evil or something bad. And it's not necessarily evil or something bad. People have their personalities. And those personalities have positive and negative. And so we help, the goal in our marriage is to help each other to manage those negative reactions. And that's the task that David and I took on when we were celebrating differences. We asked each other, are you aware of these differences? And how do you feel about these differences? Are these differences issues that you would like to see change or not change? And we respected where each other, that's why we had to carry the theme for 2 years, to allow each other to kind of be reflecting mood about those differences, and do we want to change it or do we not? Because we didn't want to change, to kind of be holding each other in bondage that you must change this, because the butterfly became very symbolic in our lives, and David will talk about the butterfly.
So we got a word, and I did a painting of the butterfly, which we called friendship, and a very important lesson we learned from it was the butterfly progresses from a pupa to the, and from the egg and then to the pupa. And the butterfly has to fight because the caterpillar spins into that pupa and has to fight to come out. The important thing is in the butterfly fighting to come out, the butterfly is developing its strength. And it has to then eat the pupa, and it has to allow a little bit of time for the liquid in the that it's generating to go into the wings to harden and to allow it to fly. If you try to help that butterfly by taking off the pupa while it's struggling or help it to come out, it totally destroys the butterfly. It will never be able to fly, and it will never have the energy to last its lifetime. And similarly, in marriage or in deep friendships, you have to allow the person the opportunity to develop into their butterfly, into their transition journey, to become the person they need to be. So what we use the butterfly is we have to allow the individual to be able to develop into who they need to be developed, without us trying to micro change. And so we learned very quickly we couldn't change each other, but the person had to be given the opportunity to develop and change into the beautiful butterfly. And so we have a beautiful painting of a butterfly that is very symbolic to us, that in friendship, we have to allow each other to develop into their beautiful journey.
I think that came, David said quickly, didn't really come quickly. It came, I think, after 7 years of that rough spot, and then the journey of healing, when our friends became very special to us in helping us, and a lot of prayer and being before the Lord. And one day it was just a revelation, and it just have really set us free as a couple to embrace each other with our positives and our negatives.
I love the description or the use of the butterfly for marriage. I've never really thought about it that way. I've thought about it as an individual journey. And what I'm really hearing today is, again, you know, we come into marriage and I guess we don't actively think this way, but we believe we're marrying a perfect person. Or we may have seen some of their flaws before, but it never bothered us that much then, and so we don't really think it's going to be an issue. But then we get married and recognize this person ain't perfect. And there's quite a lot of things that I probably don't appreciate about this person. And we are so different. How in the world is this going to work? As Lorraine said, you have to reframe your mindset, reframe how you view marriage. That in the same way we have individual journeys, marriage is a journey. And so I love how you speak about the span of the marriage, because you talk about the first 7 years, you know, which that's about where I am now. I'm in my eighth year. And so as a married couple, you're not really thinking long-term necessarily. You're just thinking, okay, this is where I am now. It's hard to see beyond the seventh and the eighth year and the 10th year to the 20th and the 30th. And so when it doesn't work out right now, you're like, this can't work. You know, this marriage can't work. It's best to part ways. But what I love about you too is the intentionality. You're saying, okay, this is a problem. You recognize it's a problem. You recognize it's not working out so well, and you talk about it. And then you go to your community of, as you said, safe friends to provide some additional perspective, because sometimes we can't find the answer alone, you know, and God does put us in community so that we can have other voices, which oftentimes he uses, you know, and in a sense, it's his voice to speak into our lives. So I just love that perspective of marriage being a journey where both persons are helping each other to evolve into a butterfly, and, you know, evolving to becoming who God wants them to be.
And you know, I just wanted to add, as you say, community. Roald Tyson was also very instrumental in our marriage.
And just to add, in that first 7 years, Joanna, a very important point. Sometimes you're seeing, this is before we were celebrating differences, those differences can seem to be totally devastating and destroying. And in that first 7 years, sometimes when you see those differences, what happens is you totally feel you don't love the person anymore. That time, everything seems to just dry up. And for us, just at that hallmark, we had to make a decision, a conscious decision, that we loved each other. That was hard. I know there was no feelings, because you are just seeing the pain and the struggle of everything that is different is just blowing up. And for a lot of people, that's what happens. The differences are the conflicts between in-laws, or the conflicts with how you operate becomes totally mind-blowing. And what happens, it translates to your almost feeling that you don't like this person no more. And so we had to take a decision. I know I took a decision that I love this person, and I'm going to act as if I'm in love. And within about, it took about 6 months of that decision to a year. And then the love and the passion that came back, I'm telling you, after 8 years, 10 years, it was greater than the former of passion and love. And to this day, we have been able to maintain that passion of love. And I think if you decide and work on that consciously, passion and love and caring for each other is vital and can happen. But it was a transition point where we could have walked out. I could have walked out and said, no, this can't work. But the commitment and the decision at that point is what made the difference. And then the Lord honored that commitment, and you know, it was, it has been beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with David. I mean, there's a point that the pain was so great that I fell out of love with it. And I remember telling my very good friend that I no longer feel in love. And David kept saying to me that love is a decision. And of course, I prayed about it, prayed, and asked the Lord to bring back this love. And I realized after a while that pain can cover your love, that I did love him. The Lord started to do certain things with me, took me on a journey without David in my dreams. He took me on a journey without David in my dreams at night, right? And I was just hollow inside, and I was just missing him. And let me tell you, see, after, I think it was for a week, I would go to my bed, I would have these dreams. And at the end of that week, I wanted my husband. I realized how much I loved him, how much I love him. And I went to him, asked him forgiveness, and shared with him that the Lord had used these dreams to release me from my pain and to realize how much I love him.
Wow. Wow. This is really important, just because at different points in the marriage, you really feel as though this is not working out. And I honestly cannot see the other side. You know, it's like you can't look to see the redemption because of how bad it is. As you said, you know, love is covered by pain, and pain can blind us to the fact that we can actually become reconnected, and that God can actually work on our behalf. And I mean, if we're supposed to look on our entire life, 6 months doesn't really sound like a lot, but 6 months is long. You know, to walk through giving this type of love and not necessarily getting it back in return and believing that something is going to change. I mean, day in, day out. But you know what's interesting is that while you were doing that, God was working on your behalf in the spouse
and gave her some dreams at the end. That was at the end of the 6 months she got the dreams.
The end of the 6 months. But even so, you know, God was working. And so sometimes when things aren't happening in the way we want in the immediate times, then it's hard. We get frustrated. And I guess that it's because as human, we like when things happen quickly. And yes. So this whole thing of process that apparently God is into is hard. It's hard for us because it's like, hey, we need to be living this life now and this good life now. And I think what is important is to recognize that God actually wants us to be happy in our marriage. Mm-hmm. But even to that place of happiness, it's a process. And it's not just about being happy. I mean, he's working things in us, building our character so we can become more like him. Because, you know, God is love, and love is patient, and love is long-suffering. And so if we are married and we say that we love each other, that means that love is long-suffering, and that means we should be suffering long in our marriage, you know, but it's just not nice. So, you know, I just really appreciate just the journey that God has really taken you both through in learning to celebrate the differences, but working through the differences. And you hear just how much God makes a difference, you know, in the relationship. So it's not just about you working it out by yourself and saying, okay, I really need to get this done. But it's recognizing that you also have somebody that's working on your behalf. What are some of the spoken or maybe unspoken rules that you have when you are engaging in discussion, a heated discussion, a quarrel, or some kind of conflict?
So some of the unspoken is that we need to be respectful of each other. So there are certain things that we should not touch. So and it happened in the early part, you know, you because you are good friends, you know the weak spots, you know the areas that will make each other hurt. And I think some of the unspoken rules is that we don't throw dirt at each other because somebody has been through something painful or some experience that you're aware of, you don't take it and throw it back at the person when you are hurting, because that really can be, you know, totally disrespectful. So you respect a person's private issues and try and treasure those so that you deal with the issue at hand and not throw other things in the mix. I think for us that has been a sort of guiding rule so that we don't go beyond. Because sometimes you'll have differences. You might shout or you may get emotional, but you don't dig up and disrespect. And I found that my wife was always very respectful of my pain, you know, which I may have had as a child, you know, coming through a lot of hurt with a physical ailment. You know, my wife was very respectful of that in my life.
Yeah, I agree, David. That's like a red flag in that we just don't go in, you know, whatever happened before when we are having this disagreements in the present, we really don't go there. And if somebody even stepped there, we just shut down. Nobody, the conversation, we know that we just shut down. The conversation stops and we separate from each other. But I can't recall it happening. Probably it happened in those 7 years, but I can't recall it happening. It's just something that we just don't do. We don't try to hurt each other by bringing up the past.
So we spoke about this a bit earlier, about money and, you know, differences in ways in which you both, you know, think about money and how money is used. How have you sought to protect yourself from finances being an issue in your marriage? I mean, that's one of the reasons why people get divorced, financial difficulties. You know, what are some of the strategies that you put in place to help yourselves?
I think it's a mindset. For me, David can talk after. For me, it's a mindset. Money is not, our relationship is the most important component in this marriage. And so, yes, we have gone through money issues, but at the end, it doesn't govern our how we see each other or the relationship. So money issues is not an issue that will tear us apart. You know, we had the Olin situation and David had made his decision with Olin. I didn't agree with it. And when things happened and we lost a lot, we had to just move on and embrace each other. And when I was kind of getting upset with him, he said, "What's important? We have each other, don't we?" And he reminded me, "We have each other, don't we?" And he said, "Yes, we do." So I said, "So what are we quarreling and being like this towards each other about? Money, vanity." and so it doesn't rip us apart. We as a couple, there are things that are important. Our children, extremely important to us. And so we are not into the big car and the house looking a certain way. We're into giving our children a quality life. And so if it means the both of us stepping back about things, getting this thing and, you know, buying these things, we let that go because our children are, we want to give them a quality life. So I think relationship and people are very important in our marriage, more than the money. When we have money issues, we go to God and we know that the righteous never go hungry and we will work it through. David, I remember once David was without work for 3 months and by the second month, we really felt it. And the Lord, he was painting, a friend came by and saw him painting and ordered 3 paintings from him. And that those funds became so important in tying us forward, taking us over to the that fourth month when he got a job. So I guess we always rehearse with each other that the righteous never go.
Okay. Yes. So, I mean, we're out of time, but I just really wanted to ask this quick question because I know it's a big part of who you are in your marriage. You know, mentorship. Why is mentorship important to you?
Right. So just quickly, and obviously it's a long topic, but for me, that has always been the call upon my life. And because of how Christ walked with his disciples for 3 years and taught them and lived with them, for me, that is vital for transforming lives. And somebody took me on right after university and said, Akin, and made a difference in my life and left that legacy with me. And I've seen that transformed several person's life, walking with them, walking through challenges and being there for them and allowing Christ being formed in you to be formed in them so that they are following the Christ steps in you. So for me, that has always been critical. Coaching, mentoring, I see as one of the hallmarks of the Christian life in passing on a legacy. A next generation, allowing one generation to impact another generation in a real way. And that's one of my hopes for my children, physically, and seeing them understanding me, having lived with me, and then seeing other persons who have never had a father, who have never been able to have that love of a home, to be able to experience that love and that joy and recognize Christ in me, the hope that I live and how it transformed. And obviously I've seen several lives that have been positively impacted and that have come back and who are now leaders and doing the same thing.
And I mean, I really asked you as well because, you know, this is also important in marriage. You know, when you get married, it's almost like parenting. You go through some kind of preparation, but you're still clueless, you know? And so it is so important to have an older couple, a more experienced couple, to just be able to speak into your marriage. And I know it's something that you both have done. But we, as I said, we're out of time. So I'm just going to ask you, could you just say one thing to my listeners? One thing that you think is important for them to remember all about marriage, and then to just pray for them. Pray for the woman, Lorraine, in the marriages, and David, just to pray for the men in marriages.
Okay. So the single thing I'd say, the word says, husband, love your wives. And that means that you are to love them when you don't feel like, and that you are to love them when they seem totally unlovable, because Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. So sometimes, men, we don't realize that we have the much greater command in trying to love our wives regardless. So I'll stop there.
Well, to encourage women to trust the God in their husband, trust God to transform their husband.
Amen. So I'll just pray for the men. Father, we just thank you for the husbands listening in. I thank you, Lord, that your love reaches out and touch each man that you are forming to be that better husband, or who is that good husband now. We pray, Lord, that you'd continue to build mentors of these men and that you'd allow them to find, Lord, the things that you are saying to them, that you would bless their home, that you'd help us as men to take on our role of loving our wives, of giving and of sharing, and be willing to take advice, be willing to allow others to have input, but to allow the right persons to have inputs in our lives. We pray, oh God, that your word and that your love would guide our steps and to continue to give us grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, we pray for the wives who are listening, that they'll be encouraged, oh God. And they will know that in your timing, you make all things beautiful. And they will trust you, oh God, to make all things beautiful in their lives as they develop their relationship with you. God, you are wonderful, you are powerful, and Lord, you have been the pilot for David and my life. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to be the pilot and the lighthouse for the marriages that are out there, for the Christian marriages, for the young Christian marriages.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord, you will just anoint their homes with your presence. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And thank you for Joanna. Bless her. Bless her husband. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, David and Lorraine. This was good. I mean, definitely learned from you, especially working through differences. And I'm really trusting that my listeners also found a lot of lessons and nuggets that they can apply to their own lives. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Life and Godliness with Joe. I love having you and I would love to hear from you. So please go and visit my page, Journeying with Joe. That's on Instagram. That's JourneyingWithJoe. That's on Instagram, and on Facebook, it is Journeying with Joe 1. I would love to hear from you. So thank you so much for listening to Life and Godliness with Joe on Arrows Internet Radio. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.